Good morning, all. You are our honored guests, those who are visiting here, and our members. We're always delighted to see you. A couple of notes before we begin our presentation. First note is Mikey asked for my subject topic for today on Monday. On Monday, I was immersed with Moses, but all of that's changed. So ignore what you have in the bulletin. Topic will not be Moses and his three mountains. Not at all. So ignore that one, please. We have to make a change here. Our subject will be stepping out on faith. One of the things I wanted to do was to make sure that we welcomed you well, our visitors. I see we have several visitors. Members, make sure if there's someone here that you don't know and you haven't seen before, introduce yourself. Make sure they know you, and we pray that our presentation today will be one that will be uplifting to all present, and especially our visitors, because as members here, what we want to do is to make sure that we have an open door and an open heart, and everybody realize that. So we're all a part of that. Our subject today and the area of our study will be stepping out on faith. This particular lesson was something I ran across last night. So forgive the promptness of it, but it was a lesson I delivered several years ago. And last night it became even more profound for me. And I want to share it with you. It comes to us from Matthew 14, 19 through 33. 14th chapter of Matthew 19 through 33. And what I titled it then, and I titled it again, is Peter Walking on Water. And the premise for the lesson becomes, if you want to walk on water, first you got to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, first you have to get out of the boat. The text reads, 14:25-32, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking to the apostles, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Their first thoughts was, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. Who can walk on water? But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Verse 28 through 30 reads, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Here's Peter. Prove it. Tell me to come to you on the water. The Lord replied, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on water and came toward Jesus, walking on water. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. The instant Peter turned his eyes from Jesus and looked at the danger of the water, focused on himself instead of Jesus, he began to sink. And when he thought he was doing it all on his own, he began to sink. Matthew 14, 31 says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You were walking on water. Why did you doubt me? Jesus pointed out faith, Peter's little faith. But there was a positive part to Peter's little faith. And there's a positive part we will dissect today and try some applications, some practical applications for us today in terms of how we relate to Jesus Christ in our hours of peril. In those times when it calls for a water walker, we become a bottom falls. Luke 17, 11 through 19 says, Peter at least stepped out of the boat. He stepped out in faith. The other 11 didn't. So what does that say about the other 11 disciples? Jesus said, come to me. Peter tried, but his faith failed him. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God. In all recorded history, only two men have ever been reported as walking on water. Peter, the apostle, and Jesus the Christ. Only two men have ever been recorded as walking on water. Peter and Christ. I want to look at your place of perceived safety. As long as you think you're safe and secure, your sense of adventure dies. Your sense of faith begins to fade. Like Peter, if you want to walk on water, first you got to get out of the boat. And we're all in our boats as we walk through life. Our boat representing our life, the little cocoon we walk around in, self-protective cocoon. But we need to be, if we're going to walk out on faith, our first thing is to understand that we must step out on faith to be able to enjoy all there is that God has for us. Nothing will happen until you step out of your comfort zone. As long as you stay wrapped up in a little cocoon, you will never grow. The minute you expand yourself, the minute you believe that Jesus Christ will be there for you, with you, to guide you and protect you, then you become whole. As long as you remain in that little cocoon of safety, not willing to step out the boat. Walking on water means facing your fears, choosing not to let fear have the last word. Walking on water means dispelling any notion that you're doing something on your own, with a clear understanding that anything you do should be done in concert with the Lord. Many times we become so self-absorbent that we start to believe that it is of our own volition that we do the things we do, those things, those accomplishments that we ascribe to ourselves, ignoring the fact that all that you have, all that you will be, and all that you can be is a result of a blessing from God and God's grace. And understanding that humbleness and the lack of fear will allow you to accomplish things beyond your wildest imaginations. Walking on water means discovering and embracing the unique calling of God on your life. God has a specific purpose for each and every one of you. And he has a special calling for each and every one of you. It doesn't matter the field you're in. It doesn't matter your life ambition. It doesn't matter where you think you're going. God has a plan for you. And that plan involves you realizing your full human potential. As you realize your full human potential, what you can do with that is then be able to serve the kingdom of God. Jesus' invitation to walk on water is just as valid for you and me today as it was for Peter then. How many of us can say that we followed through when Jesus said, come? It's a reflection, a moment of reflection. And it doesn't matter if you have to go back to your Sunday school classes, early classes, when you were about 18 years old. And people were trying to guide you. And the call of Jesus, that siren call of Jesus to you throughout your life, how many of you have actually answered the call? Or how many of you have said to yourself, I'll get to that after I finish my career. I'll get to that after the children are out. I'll get to that after I graduate. When there's a call placed to you by the Lord himself. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we want to go where he calls us. Sometimes there's an old adage that says the best laid plans of mice and men sometimes go astray. You can master as many platitudes as you want, as many projections as you think you can have in terms of your life, your course of your life. But when Jesus calls, what he's saying is, those things go to the back burner because I have a mission for you. I have something for you to do. And the saddest thing is have the siren call of Jesus and you ignore it because of a selfish motive. Water walking is doing with God's help what you cannot do on your own. That's water walking. Euphemistically, we're speaking of walking on water, but in actuality, it happened in Scripture. But euphemistically, walking on water is no more than stepping beyond your comfort zone and stepping out beyond your normal capacity or thinking what you can do. Whatever your boat is, in Jesus, there is encouragement for the water walker. Doesn't matter the boat, doesn't matter the course, doesn't matter where you're trying to get to. Christ is the encouragement for the water walker who chooses to step outside their comfort zone and trust God. The reason we don't step out of our comfort zone, we're not sure if God will be there. See, although we may profess our firm and stringent belief in Jesus Christ and in God working in concert with us, when we abandon the call of the Lord, what we're actually saying is, maybe, maybe not. There's a constant pattern in Scripture of what happens in a life that God wants to use and improve. And let me just take a look at this for a second and share it with you. First of all, there's always a call. God asks an ordinary person to engage in an act of extraordinary trust, that of getting out of the boat. There's always a call. Now, we may ignore that call of service, ignore that call of expanding ourselves beyond ourselves, going beyond our given capacities or what we think to be our capacities. There's always fear involved. When you act to step out of your comfort zone, there's always fear. God has an inextinguishable habit of asking people to do things that they're scared to do. There's a reason for that. God has this inextinguishable habit of asking people to do things they're afraid to do. Why do you think he would do that? It may be a fear of inadequacy, like Moses in his speech. God asked Moses to step out of his comfort zone and step out of the boat and speak. Although that was an impairment for Moses. It may be a fear of failure. What if I don't succeed? What will people say? What if I step out of my comfort zone and things don't work out? It's like the giants of the promised land and the people not stepping into the promised land because they saw giants, thinking they would have to slay the giants on their own, of their own volition, and not have God with them. It's a lack of faith. It may even be a fear of God prevents us from stepping out. The servant in the parable of the talents, given the talents and not using them, hoarding them. When you answer the God's call, there's always a reassurance you will receive. Anytime you answer God's call, you will always get a reassurance, a confirmation, if you will. God promises his constant presence. If it's a call from God, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you as you traverse whatever the plane this is. And that he will give you whatever gifts you need to fulfill his assignment. But I don't have all you want from me, Lord. I don't have the education. I don't have the wherewithal. I'm not a good speaker, Lord. I can't do that. The Lord has gifted each and every one of us with talents. Each and every one of us has a talent for service in some capacity. I don't care if you're a roofer, that's your talent. It doesn't matter if you're an electrician, that's your talent. And it can be used in the service of the Lord. God promises his constant presence, and he will go and give you whatever you need to fulfill that assignment. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Believe that to the core of your being, in your heart and in your mind, inculcate that notion. God will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. And if you know that to be to the core of who you are, you know you will never, ever walk alone. And the indecisiveness comes about because sometimes we think we're trying to do this on our own. Whatever it is God has outlined for us to do, we think it's me and whatever I have to bring to the table. There's always a decision that has to be made in terms of stepping out of that boat, stepping on the water. You will always need to decide whether to step out of the boat of security, we're safe, or not. God will always give you the choice. He won't force you to do anything. He will give you the choice. You may stay in this safe little cocoon and not extend yourself, not make yourself available for his service. Or you may say, Lord, I believe you will never leave me nor forsake me. So if this is the mission you've outlined for me, Lord, take my hand. There's always a changed life when one makes that pledge, doing the will of the Lord. You will never be the same again. Saying yes to God's call sets in motion a divine dynamic far beyond mere human power. When you walk on water, you can expect a few waves to slap you in the face. That'll probably be friends and family. Who do you think you are? How are you going to be doing that? How are you doing that? Girl, I knew your mama. I've been knowing you since you were 6 years old. You can't do that. Those are the waves slapping you in the face. But if you remain steadfast and understand that I am not in this walk alone, the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now he has not left you nor forsaked you, even though you hear from others that you can't do it. It's because they're speaking from their own frames of reference and their own proclivities for believing that you can't do certain things, even if God is with you. Turn a deaf ear. Storms have a way teaching what nothing else can. When you're in the middle of a storm, you learn some lessons that nothing else can teach you. And storms can be many different things. Many casualties of life are storms. But if you're willing to get out of the boat, two things will happen. First, if you fail, and we all fail sometimes, Jesus will be there to pick you up if you're doing the will of God. Not out of purely selfish motives, but out of service to the Lord. Jesus will be there to pick you up. We will never fail alone when we're operating within the context of what the Lord wants to use us for. We will find he is wholly adequate to save us. Second thing that will happen. Every once in a while, you'll walk on water, metaphorically that is. When human beings get out of the boat and are met by Jesus, they're never quite the same. And those of you who have had that experience of following what the Lord has dictated for you to do, those of you who have had that experience, you become extremely unique because you have a personal relationship that others who have not made that commitment have not had and will not have. When human beings get out of the boat and are met by Jesus, again, they're never quite the same. Encounters with Jesus have the kind of effects on folks. Anyone who has an encounter with Jesus will never be the same. Although many of us believe we have that relationship, until we have given our all in terms of our commitment to the Lord, until we've reached that point where I am empty without you, Lord, With you, I'm full. But without you, I am empty. Until we get to that point, we will never, ever really realize the full notion of stepping out of that boat and being guided by the Lord. When God brings, when the human beings get out of the boat and are met by Jesus, they truly are never the same. Encounters with Jesus have that kind of effect on folks. By following the call of the Lord, you become confirmation of the power of God. You become a walking, talking confirmation and affirmation, affirming the talking of God, the working of the Lord. Do you want to know him like never before? As I begin to conclude this, do you truly want to know the Lord like never before? Then face your fears and step over the side of the boat. The master of the sea is waiting for you. Face your fears. Every one of us walks around with fears. That's part of the humankind, the human condition. We all have certain fears. Face your fears and think in terms of, by facing this fear, how will God use this? How can God use this for the good of his people? And find a way of service. Each and every one of us should have some degree of service to the Lord because of all the things, not necessarily because of, but I guess I will. Let me make that commitment. Because of all that God has given you. See, it's a debt you cannot repay in total. When your mind is focused on God, then you're ready to get out of the boat. If you have other thoughts, the dangers that await in serving the Lord, the uncertainty of success, if those are your thoughts, the fear of being humiliated, all of those, or if those are your thoughts, you have not reached the point of stepping out of the boat. Put that aside and know that if you have a strong calling to serve the Lord in whatever capacity, I don't care if it's roofing or fixing a fender on a car, whatever it is, in some capacity you can serve the Lord. And if you haven't dedicated yourself to doing that, what happens to you then, you will never be fulfilled. There will always be a vacuum, a hole there. Now, step one, step out of your comfort zone. Then the believer who walks with Jesus sees constant evidence that God is always near. When you're truly walking in step with the Lord, you will see pure evidence that God is always near. Now, what should we learn from the fact that Jesus didn't calm the storm before Peter stepped out? Jesus had the power to make the storm just dissipate, make the waters calm as glass, but he did not do that. What do we learn from that? Psalm 46, 1 and 2 says, obedience in faith doesn't remove storms. If you think that you, because you're obedient to the word of God, you will never see a storm, you'll be living in a delusionary world. All of us will see storms in our lives. But does enable us to get through them. It enables us to get through the storms. We'll see them, but we'll get through them. What should we especially remember from Peter's experience? First of all, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 2. Peter was doing just fine. Walking on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and looked down at the water. Why should we do this? Well, for an eternal glory that far outweighs our momentary troubles. Eternal glory. What's eternal? Forever. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says, by fixing our eyes on the eternal, we don't lose heart and we are renewed. Sometimes our thinking is so short-sighted. Next week, next year, next month, 6 months from now, 3 years from now, when we should be fixed on the eternal. Remember, every living soul will live forever. Where that soul resides depends expressly on what you do on this side of glory. So if you start thinking in terms of the eternal, it moves you beyond the complacency of right now. It moves you from a place of thinking of in terms of 20, 30 decades. Thinking in terms of eternal meaning forever moves you away from the notion of 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years. What I want us to do is a parting, John, I'm right there at the clock. Fix your eyes on the eternal in every decision you make. If you can pledge yourself to that, if you can pledge yourself to thinking in terms of the eternal, not 5 years, not 20 years, not 50 years, but eternally, the things I'm about to do, the decisions I'm about to make will affect me for all eternity. It causes you to reorder your thinking. It causes you to no longer have short-term goals. It causes you to expedite your transition to compliance with the Word of God. As I conclude, what I'd like for us to do is to use this lesson as something to think about and then something to act on. And only you know what you will do. We close. If anyone is prepared to obey the gospel, that is to believe the word of God, repent of your sins, and by changing your mind. All repentance is changing your mind. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and to live faithfully until death. Anyone in need of prayer, please come forward as we stand to sing our song of encouragement.